As the new year began, a power shift to the right, resulting from the November congressional election, got underway in Washington, D.C. John Boehner became Speaker of the House of Representatives as Republicans became the majority party there, while the GOP gained 6 seats in the Senate but remained in the minority. But even as Democrats continue to control the White House and Senate, a not-so-subtle shift is taking place with regard to the party's defense of the social safety net built by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt during the Great Depression. An erosion of the Democrats' principled opposition to the Republican and corporate agenda, favoring tax cuts for the wealthy, a reduction in government programs, and deregulation of business is apparent for all to see. The signs include President Obama's surrender to the GOP on retaining Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans in last year's lame duck session, the recommendations by Mr. Obama's hand-picked co-chairs of his debt commission to raise the Social Security retirement age and make major cuts to Social Security and Medicare benefits, and his appointment of J.P. Morgan Chase Vice Chairman William Daley as his new chief of staff. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with William Grider, national affairs correspondent with The Nation magazine, who discusses why he believes the death of FDR's New Deal programs are imminent unless re-energized progressive social movements emerge to resist the bipartisan assault on the poor and middle class.
Obama, I think, with utter sincerity, would like to sort of work things out across the ideological and party divides. And I don't doubt that he is sincere about that. But it's so out of step with the enormity of what we are facing that you begin to question the sincerity. I think the Democrats, having for many years sustained the idea that we still believe in those things, in social justice, in equity, in protecting the weak and the innocent from the depredations of big business or big banks or whoever, they could say that with great clarity when they were out of power. And they did. And so many of us could say, well, it's not fair to judge them because they're now out of lack of the ability to do anything about these aggravations and afflictions. And so withhold judgment. And now, in the last 2 years, judgment has arrived, at least for me and I think others, where we saw them repeatedly decline to assert the powers of government to correct these things. And indeed, even to try to work out deals with the sectors of the economy that were responsible. The most visible but dramatic one is banking and finance, who everybody understands caused this calamity and the collapse and huge losses and great dislocations. The government, starting with George W. Bush, but then continuing under Obama, basically makes them well. And that's first on the agenda. Let's get the banks out of their problems. And that may indeed have been an imperative, but they didn't ask for anything in return or demand anything in return. That's the center of my disappointment, and I think our complaints will be tested in the next few years.
We've seen President Obama from the White House negotiate an extension of the tax cuts for the wealthiest sectors of society, and at the same time he handpicked a deficit commission that mostly agree, whatever party they belong to, they mostly agree on cutbacks in Social Security, raising the eligibility age, and reductions in Medicare benefits. What is the signal in terms of what's going to happen in the next year or so when this new Republican Congress is going to drive as hard as they can to undercut Social Security and these other social programs in confluence with what seems to be a similar agenda from the White House?
Well, that's part of my judgment. My harsh judgment about the Democratic Party. The Republican position has been well known for 80 years, and they're unrelenting. They hate Social Security. They hated it when it was created, and they've hated it actively ever since. The shock is the Democratic position. We have a Democratic president now who is saying, well, let's sit down and talk about this. We can work something out. And that puts a lot of us right on at battle stations because Republicans might actually succeed in disabling Social Security and ultimately destroying it if the Democrats cooperate with that. And there's a lot of nervousness in Washington right now among people like myself and others who are active in the political system that the president in his State of the Union may announce some grand prospect for compromise on Social Security and Medicare. I hope that gossip is wrong, but I know people who've been to the White House to express their alarm. And we're not entirely reassured by the answer they got from the president's staff. So we'll see. I think it's disastrous if he gives into that crusade. And that's part of why I say it's the end of the New Deal, if that's what is about to unfold.
William Grider, as you look around the country now, you've got angry Tea Party folks on the right. You've got a left that's quite disorganized and dispirited, I would say myself. Do you see any hope that people will say enough at some point with compromises to the right and the corporate agenda, and that people will rise up, labor unions, working folks, and say, we've had it. We're not going to take this land down, and that Social Security is going to be the big demarcating fight that really could be a turning point for the country's politics?
Yeah, I think that is possible. I won't say more than that, and I obviously, you've read my piece, that my hope hangs on that thread, that will indeed happen, and I think there's a good basis for believing in the possibility, and, you know, one of my small roles is to sort of stand on the creased corner urging people to throw off the cynicism and the resignation and all the rest, and throw off especially the propaganda of mass media, and take responsibility for the country, for themselves, for their futures. And I literally think we're now at a profound turning point in the history of America. And we've discussed a couple of aspects of it, but there are many more. It's the war. We're fighting wars all over the world while we're borrowing the money to do so. The ecological damage has now reached a stage where people can see concretely the destruction that lies ahead if they don't change things. The searing inequality in our society, which has developed over the last 30 years, thanks to that right-wing doctrine of everybody for themselves, never mind the society. I can go on. You know the list, probably. But in that situation, I think in my last book I argued the only thing that can pull us out of what we're in now is a popular mobilization.
That was William Grider, national affairs correspondent with The Nation magazine. Grider's widely acclaimed books include Who Will Tell the People and Secrets of the Temple. Read his recent article, The End of New Deal Liberalism, online at thenation.com.